Brewers Hardware specializes in stainless steel parts for your home brewery. From Conicals to Tri-Clovers, you can find it at brewershardware.com.
This is the Brewing Network's Brewing with Style, hosted by Jamil Zainashev and Mike Tasty McDowell, along with special guest Jonathan Plise. Now, here's Jamil.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hey, everybody, welcome. That's it. Welcome. Get
welcome.
In there. Listen up.
Welcome.
Here comes information. Open wide and swallow. am I saying all that? Yeah, I guess so.
No, I think that's internal dialogue.
You know, I'm going to get a new hobby. This is, I'm giving up on this one.
Yeah?
There's a car show going on outside the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And these people, like, they got these cars. Are all
saw you with the hearse over there.
The house looking that thing over, right?
Trying to book it.
Yeah.
Put an air mattress in the back.
Yeah, the hearse. Yeah, there's a lot of horizontal room in there.
There is room.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
All these old guys, which.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever. They're,
which is represented
they're in
this lawn room.
Chairs behind these cars that are. Obviously, they drove when they were like 17, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
17 miles an hour?
No, when they were 17, that's the car they drove, right?
These are like 50-year-old cars.
And they're
cars.
Like impeccable. Yeah. And they just sit there and talk to people about their car. How easy. You don't have to like burn yourself making beer.
right.
And you could still have beer, I assume. You
know? Right.
Yeah.
You could pay somebody else to fix up your car.
Yeah, you just pay somebody. Of course, you don't do it.
Here's 50 grand. Just fix up this car. And I'll just go and just talk about it.
It'd be cheaper than homebrewing, I figure.
Right.
I always look at older people like in their... Let's say 70s and up, driving these older cars, like you were saying, Tasty.
Yeah.
And I always think that this has got to be the car that they first got laid in.
Whatever. I don't know.
No, I'm serious.
Well, I totally do.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Like 57 Chevys, right?
I'm trying to get laid in the car.
Like 40s and 50s.
There's
like,
a 58 out there. You got to see it.
That's what I'm saying. And if the guy is at least in his 80s, I'm like, he got laid in that car, and he hasn't. He's married that chick.
He
and
loves
everything
that
is
stain
the
in the back
same.
Seat.
Yeah.
Oh, I should go out there and talk not obnoxious to them. Like, yeah, is that your wife? Is that where you first banged her in the back of this car?
Did you finger bang old Mildred here?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
We should do a remote out. Hey, listen, we're with
Chevy,
the podcast.
It's 50, 51
Who did you bang in this pile of crap?
I'm just being honest. That's what I think. I agree with you, Tasty.
All right, we're
I'm trying to be that guy, man.
That finger bangs
guy.
Mildred
really
in the old car?
I got my old car, man. I've right. got it.
Oh, you
want that thing.
See? The hipster, he's got the hipster car.
No, so funny story. So
the car doesn't run well.
So I'm coming
but
to do the
cool.
show.
I understand.
No, it runs fine, man. It's a diesel engine. It's got less than 150,000 miles on it, man.
All right.
So I show up to the, to do this show.
Uh-huh.
Whole street's blocked off.
Uh-huh.
Pull up. I'm going to go in the garage right over there.
Uh-huh.
And I pull up to the stop sign, and they part the barrier for me.
They're like, they just kind of move it. Your car's that old.
They're letting him into the show.
It looks like a classic car. It's 1976. It's not as old as all those other ones.
What kind of car are you driving?
It's
a 76 what, Pinto?
No, it's a Mercedes, man.
Yeah, it's the
call. Yeah, what hipster would be seen in a Pinto?
The Boy Scouts manning the barrier were like, oh, look, here comes my dentist's kid in my dentist's car. This is great.
Sorry, sir, let me let you through. We pulled up to the barricade to unload a keg of beer for the tap room and the littlest Boy Scout who must be like, 6 years old raises his finger and goes like, no.
He shakes his finger, he wags the finger at you.
He did. And the rest of them are just like, well, these guys must know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're stopping for a purpose and getting out.
Yeah.
With the little guy's like, you can't be here.
You just show up with an older car next to me.
Am I exaggerating it in the slightest? No.
His balls haven't dropped yet, and he's already pushing people around.
He's like, no, you can't do this. He's like,
I got my merit badge and finger wagging.
It's his first management job. Give the kid a break.
My mom taught me everything I know.
And, of course, we didn't give a crap. Right? We climb out. Unload the keg.
Why don't you deliver this for us? You're big. You're a scout. Do your deed for the day.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who does a deed for us? It's our brand new sponsor.
That's right.
Yeah.
BrewersHardware.com.
Yeah.
You want somebody to do the deed for you? They They'll hook you up. Indeed, do the deed.
One thing you got to have
their stainless deed.
I found like my brew system's pretty old and like you know, yeah, static. Yeah, yeah. But you got to have a few gem items in there that make it like mm-hmm. make a difference.
You do, yes.
And just it's one or two,
and it's those small ones. If you put them in key places, it makes your brew day so much easier.
Every once in a while, you got to treat yourself to a little upgrade. You know, Father's Day was recent. Christmas is coming up.
Yeah,
gotta hit that with a little bit of stainless. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Vacations are paid for. You should be ready to upgrade your system.
There you go. Well, and brewershardware.com, they carry a huge selection of both threaded and tri-clover compatible sanitary fittings, valves, pumps, all that stuff. You can upgrade your brew day with that. They've got jacketed conical fermenters. You want something that like that looks like the big boys? And they've fermenters. Got that. What? They've got everything. They've got brew stands. They've got brew stands that will hold from 5 gallons all the way up to 10 barrels.
10 barrel.
I know.
Is that a stand? I think it's got legs welded on it.
See, right. That's like a NASA thing.
Yeah, yeah. You can upgrade your home brewing from stovetop to pro.
There you go.
Like imagine a retailer that knows you that well. You can't.
They got all the hard-to-find parts. Everything you need to make great beer, they've got. And I'm telling you, if your plastic buckets in a 1 gallon pot on the stove, check them out anyway.
Update your grain, your game there, bro.
Yeah. One of the greatest things about this hobby is that you're not limited by just doing this and no, you have a chance to dream. You have a chance to reach out for the stars and go crazy and have some fun with the hobby.
Yeah.
And brewershardware.com is there to help you. So check them out. You can upgrade your brew day, all the amazing selection of stainless gear, designed and built by homebrewers for homebrewers at brewershardware.com. Check them out. Send an email to Brad at brewershardware.com and tell them how much you appreciate their sponsoring the show so you don't have to pay for it. If you enjoy the show, Brad's paying for it. The least you could do is check out all the stuff on their site.
Yeah, please do.
And tell them how much you like that.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Today, we were going to kind of delve into a topic which I think is near and dear to the hearts of a lot of our listeners. Because we are.
A lot of us.
We're very international.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. We are, yeah. We're listened to everywhere.
We have
evidence to that effect.
We wear the banana hammock.
We've changed culture all over the world. Most people didn't even know what a banana hammock was until we introduced it.
We're as hammock as anybody hammocks. We're getting the waxing.
Yeah.
We get the dance the Lamada. I mean, we are very international here.
Well, hold on. That's the forbidden dance, and that's one thing I won't do.
We are very forbidden in this show. I don't know if you know that.
I don't have any principles.
Before you signed up for this, you should understand that we are as forbidden as the fruit, the Lambada.
Shit.
All right.
So we cover lots of the globe.
We cover the globe.
And I
totally forgotten what we were talking about, but we cover the globe.
Yes.
whatever
not
it
everybody
is.
Has yeah. the
whatever it is.
Supplies that we all have.
You can tell I'm not driving tonight because...
Right.
I'm driving the beer down my throat. That's what I'm driving.
Yeah. We cover the globe as as little as our banana hammocks cover our globes.
We are all over the globe.
Ooh, that's good.
Our hands are on the globe like you wouldn't believe our hands are on the globe.
Left and right globe.
I'm just saying. All right. And thus, we have a question from one of our listeners in New Zealand.
New Zealand, oh.
That's correct. This is John Harris. Should I say last names? I probably shouldn't say last name. This is John Smith.
John H.
Actually, he says Harry. He calls. I don't know why. Literally, he signed off as Harry.
Anyway, it could be a descriptor.
Could be a descriptor. Yeah, that's true.
Is there an I in there?
He says, and again, I'm going to read
John
it.
John
like,
is Harry.
I'm going to read it like you wrote it. Uh-huh. Hi.
Hi.
I'm a 20-liter all-grain home brewer down in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Been listening to your show way too much.
Mm-hmm.
You guys talk a lot about liquid yeast, which I'm sure is great, but nobody cultivates it here for the homebrew market, so it's dear as fuck. Viola White Labs is about $19.
All right, fuck a deer.
Dry yeast is about $6.50. To put that in context, base malts are $4 a kilo or $2 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes liquid yeast a big chunk of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, A, is liquid yeast worth the money for us down here? B, if it's not, what's the best way to use dry yeast? We rehydrate it, but should we do starters as well? And C, can you rinse and reuse dry yeast? Once it's been through a fermentation, is it as good as a rinsed liquid yeast? And then he says, NB, I don't know what that means, we have a temp-controlled fridge for fermentation and are looking at oxygenating the wort next. Any help would be great. Love the show. Cheers, Harry.
All right. Well, here's what I would say. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will deal with these questions.
You're in that bladder.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, N, B.
N, B.
Uh-huh. Right after this.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out, or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, there are amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the BrewingNetwork.com.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer.
Watch out! Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Now back to Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. We're drinking beer and having lots of fun.
On this show, I'm drinking the Heretic IPA.
Oh, yeah.
There so you got go. This like rotating hop regimen, is that it?
Mm-hmm. Why, thank you for noticing. No, we have our base IPA.
And you're talking about the malt bill's the same.
Malt bill. Uh-huh. So the Chris Kennedy, who's
what a great guy.
Head brewer.
He's a dick.
He got a gold medal at GABF with his basic hop IPA recipe.
Cool.
And he's been after me for years to let him brew that. I'm like, we're not going to brew IPA.
What? Okay. What was your rationale for that, by the way? Never mind.
I don't know. Whatever. I just got so sick of everyone brewing. Everyone's going to have an IPA. I'm like, fuck you. I don't have to have an IPA. And so, I'm like, but I like a good IPA, so what the hell? And, he's a great guy. He's put in his 5 years of hard work. I'm like, all right, fine. You can go ahead and brew the beer you want to brew. So he brews that. Great beer. And I'm like, all right, you're never brewing it again. What we're going to do is...
Don't give him an inch.
Every new weird hop that comes out, I've been sourcing.
Perfect.
They offer me these experimental 9-1.
Give me a number.
You know,
I'll try
it. Yeah. You know, 90215, whatever it is.
90210.
Yeah. There you go.
Love that hop. It's a little
hop
catty.
Hop so secret you don't eat the
catty. It's a little catty.
Get it?
It's a little catty. Comes from Southern California. We buy all these hops, and so every batch is a different set of hops.
Like how many different hops?
It depends. So we did one previously with Nathan.
Nate Smith, our Nate.
Yeah. With our Nate.
Yeah.
And,
he's an asshole, too.
And it was Cashmere, Idaho 7, and Simcoe.
Now, none of that early on. You have a base bittering... edition,
oh,
right?
No, I think it was like Simcoe early on.
Really?
Nate's a crazy man when it comes to hops.
Oh, well.
It was like seven different hops. I'm like, but we like ratchet this down to three. And yeah.
But you can't cut costs on quality, Jamil.
Oh, it wasn't a cost thing. I wanted to actually taste some of the
hops.
You want
to be able to taste the hops.
Right.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
It gets all muddled if you have
less is more.
But I'll tell you, I think that turned out fantastic.
Yeah?
I love that beer. Cashmere. I'm telling you all, Cashmere.
I've heard. I've had that before.
So
it's really good.
They stopped growing it.
Really?
Why?
Because it was so fantastic, and brewers are idiots because it's not popular. They did not want to. Nobody wanted to use it.
Is it one of those low alpha, high flavor kind of things? Or
No, it's higher alpha than like Cascades, I think. But
and that's domestic. I don't.
Yeah.
I never
no, heard. And there is no licensing fee on that.
It's Indian.
Oh. It's USDA?
It's from the hop growing program.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I am single-handedly resurrecting Cashmere. I've asked...
like Vinny did with Simcoe.
Asked Crosby Hops to grow this for me. They're like, well, we'll put the rhizomes in. I'm like, whatever it takes, I'll do. And I'm telling you, it's a tremendous hop. And I was talking to, you know, Jay Prawl.
Sure.
He works for Hopsteiner.
Yeah.
He's like, that was a killer hop. He goes, I'm like, well, how come nobody wants it? He goes, you know how brewers are. You know, if it's not the popular thing everyone's talking about, nobody wants it. It's like.
So it's got to have got a trend. It's got to be some way to
get. But how is it going to be popular if nobody talks about it?
Right.
Yeah, that's ultimately the thing why no one wants to touch it.
But there's the thing. It's like, well, it's the latest licensed hop. Oh, this is public domain program, so it must not be good.
Must not be
no, it's freaking fantastic.
What Cashmere. Is it? What do you like
all
about
right.
it? What is it that's so good?
Oh, it had, you know... It
give me five descriptors.
You don't like hops, though.
I know. That's not true. I like hops. I don't like the high alcohol that people think needs to balance out the hops. That's my problem. Like with IPA, is I don't like to drink a 7% beer because I like to drink too much. And if I do that, I'm going to be throwing up in my car when the cop goes, hey, can I have your license and registration? And I don't want that, but I really enjoy drinking beer. But and I like hops. I just don't like the alcohol. So give me five descriptors for Cashmere, please.
You know, there was a lot of tropical, fruity, coconut. So citrusy,
Citrusy, tropical, and coconut.
Yeah,
that's
huge,
intriguing.
Huge wow. coconut. When it was in the tank, the coconut was over the top.
Wow. Like too much? Like were you concerned?
No, I loved it.
Really?
I'm just like, man.
Really?
Because I like the tropical fruity thing.
Maybe you put coconut in the next beer.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I thought, why not, right? Fuck
coconut.
It.
No,
a coconut IPA. Who cares?
How about a porter with this hop?
God damn it, I think you're right.
How about a robust porter with
I
this
am right.
beer? Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, might be.
I like
don't
that
know.
Idea. Coconut?
I think there's Anyways, the whole point is there's so many great hops.
Yeah.
And all you people opening new breweries... Don't buy all the trademarked hops where they own you by the short hairs.
They do.
They, you know, because there's been some instances, not everybody who has trademark hops. Some are just dealing with you, you know, fairly. Some people are like, we own it. Everyone wants it. We're doubling the price. Sorry. Yeah. Screw you. So a lot of that's going on, too. So I think it's, you know, they're like, oh, you know, the hop growers need to make their
the only way to offset
an honest
is to
wage.
Have a plan B in these other hops.
The brewers need to make an honest wage, too, and the consumer needs a fair price on the product they're purchasing.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, just open your mind to all these other hops. Just because it's a trademark hop doesn't mean it's the best thing. Yeah. And just because it's a public domain hop doesn't mean it's somehow inferior. They're doing some great stuff. And there are some incredible hops out there that nobody is focusing on. Because it's not popular, because there isn't some new trendy beer using them, doesn't mean that those hops... And there's trademark hops that are just getting no traction whatsoever, but they're incredibly good.
Like what?
I don't want to say.
Okay. I would say Amarillo.
Well, Amarillo, back in the day, I remember buying Amarillo, and it was... They're going to stop growing it. They're going to rip out all the acreage.
Yeah.
And I remember...
It's a lower alpha.
No, it's fairly high alpha. That's like 11...
Oh, wow.
I thought it was like 8 to 11. Yeah. Okay. No, that's high alpha.
All right.
And I remember brewing some beers. People were like, what hop did you use? I'm like, Amarillo. I'm like, oh, Amarillo. And that was about the time that the brewers started to catch on, and they were about to rip it out. And that was the whole kind of trend.
Yeah.
So it takes people, all you hop growers out there, it takes the brewers, we're all kind of slow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be in an industry that paid a lot more money.
True. Like engineering.
So I'm getting I'm here I'm the bottom line for
you. Got to give us a few years.
When I see these brewers rubbing hops together up there with these cuts, and they're selecting all that, they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not till they get it in beer do they really get anything out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. So
I would agree.
I would agree with that. I think that's so. But you,
otherwise,
you probably think they're at what 20%, 30% of like what the potential for this hop could be. And you're right. Until they use the ingredient, they don't know for sure, but they're getting an educated guess.
You know, there's so much interaction with fermentation and the yeast and everything else that's going on.
Heating it up. I mean, dissolving
that really changes the character and exposes certain things that are hidden. I imagine there are some people. It's like, you know, tasting grains and stuff and smelling grains and knowing what that's going to be like in the beer. I imagine there's people like that for hops.
There are. Yeah. A lot of people have special skills. I get that.
A lot of people are special.
Right.
I remember Amarillo. I first was introduced through John at Rogue. And that was the first brewery that I ever heard of that was using Amarillo. And I'm like, this hop is amazing. And it kind of reached this thing where it was super hard to get. Nobody could find it. And then it kind of died out because these higher alpha hops were taking priority. And like 14%. Everyone was like, oh, maybe it was a Simcoe.
It's not that.
Or whatever. And then it kind of came back a little bit. But, you know, Jay and Alex at the Rare Barrel use Amarillo when they dry hop their sour beer. They're egregious.
They get it from us.
That's the best fucking beer that they make. The golden sour with that kind of like apricot-y, like light apricot skin kind of flavor that the Amarillo brings out. So it's kind of what you were saying, what you guys are both saying, is that there are certain qualities that come out in the hops, but only when you use them.
Uh-huh.
In certain situations.
Right.
And
I think
Jay at the Rare Barrel has been able to pull that out of the Amarillo.
Are you saying Jay pulled it out?
He pulled it out and waved it everywhere in everyone's palate, across everyone's palate.
Right in the mouth.
Right, right in the mouth.
Yeah, for instance, just that hop in a lower pH environment will give off another flavor.
Totally.
Sure,
Yeah, no, that's a great observation.
I remember when I first bought Amarillo.
Uh oh.
It was a big, like,
Grandpa's
white...
telling stories again.
Jug of Amarillo at I was at the home beer wine and cheese shop.
Home
in,
beer wine and cheese making shop.
Yes, right. Yeah. I was going to
in L.A. or somewhere.
Yeah. No, I think I was going to a Malto's Falcons meeting. I was going to drop off some
competition entries,
probably, or I was picking some up or something like
probably
that.
Probably 1,000. Knowing you, average competition season for you.
I backed the 18-wheeler up to the dock and unloaded my entry.
Yeah. Not far off from the truth.
And then I loaded in like a couple of pounds of Amarillo.
Right.
And headed back north.
Yeah.
No, I remember specifically buying and talking to John.
Yes.
Yeah. And totally.
And
we were talking the hops, and he was like, "Yeah, no." He's like, "It's pretty much done," but he liked it.
Never got any traction.
Yeah. Good hop, man. I love it.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, your beer is great. Thanks. Thanks for bringing it. That's, yeah. That's why we got onto the hop thing. Did we have a question from a listener?
Jesus. Yeah. No.
From Harry from New Zealand.
So anyway, 20 minutes later.
Did we already do break one? Yeah,
no, we...
This is why I need to drive.
This is going to be our second break. We're coming up on half hour.
All right. So, Harry Potter. Harry Palms. Harry Palms.
Yeah.
Harry Palms.
Said
that... Like, just like Harry Potter, but different wand.
Yeast.
Yeah.
Right. Dry yeast. All right. So, a couple of things. Yeah, absolutely. Sending wet yeast all over the world can be a problem.
Liquid yeast.
Yeah, $20 for a batch. That's kind of ridiculous.
Right, it's hard. Right.
Yeah,
that's a huge. Now you can repitch it. One of the things that I did, you know, again, if you get this liquid yeast and you are repitching it, five, six, seven times.
Well, then you're out, because I get a new pitch every time.
Right.
You're cheaper than I am if you pitch it four times at $20.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Now, the question was, the first A was...
Is liquid yeast worth the money for us down here?
Right. Now, the reason why liquid yeast would be worth the money is really because the selection of yeast is much, much broader.
Because not every yeast can be dry. It doesn't survive the process.
Right, right, right. So, you know, if you're looking for something special, if you're trying to do a particular style of beer that really requires a certain type of yeast, well, then, yes, it's absolutely worth the money. Now, it's worth the money in that, it is a healthy yeast. It hasn't withgone the drying process, which stresses the yeast, causes them to, act a little bit different. It's going through this this stress process, which it causes it to, exhibit slightly different characteristics. So I would say, if you can get it at a reasonable price, absolutely it's worth it. So in the U.S., when you're paying like $6 or something like that, $7, absolutely worth the price.
Yeah.
Now, 19, you're starting to get a little crazy.
Getting up there.
Yeah. It's not that bad. I mean, they're paying $2 a pound for malt, too. What do we pay for here?
$1.44.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
Homebrewing.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's gone up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, you're not paying it, but we do.
I buy the truckload.
It comes in as, they blow it into your silo, right up your ass.
Blow it right up my ass. Just like the yeast. I think that's the reason right there. And I think if you're going to do some sort of specialized beer that requires a certain yeast, yes, it's worth paying the $19. Grow it up. Find, four other home brewers who are, interested in trying an alt beer or trying doing a wit or something where you can't get a proper dry yeast. The difference is amazing. But you could grow that split it with your homebrew club and, have something great.
Or do a series of beers, right? So you need a certain Bock yeast.
Right.
You'd get that Bock yeast, and then you would make like a series of Bocks, right, that are, based around keeping that yeast going.
Yeah, yeah.
Pitch it batch to batch.
Right, right, right.
Or find some buddies. Now, of course, if you're in the outer regions of these countries, you may not even know another home brewer.
New Zealand's small. Everybody knows everybody.
Another human being for several days.
They get on the tom-toms and they beat on those things. Right. Yeah.
No, pretty soon, there's a club.
But if you do something like a wit yeast, it's like, well, how many wits? It's not like you can do a series of wits.
No. No, and you're not going to find
a lager yeast.
You're not going to find a dry. Yeah, well, there's some fairly good lager dried yeast that might give you a good result.
Right.
But like a wit or some of the Belgian strains, you're not going
to
get them.
Right. And so I think, your best bet there is to, share and,
And then if you, one of your guys in your home brew club happens to be like a PhD in chemistry, might be the next White Labs.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, I got my PhD from UC Davis.
I have an employee. He owns this guy, I guess.
Right.
This is mine. I get that.
He's mine.
He's yours.
He's mine. He was showing me everything he's banking now.
It's your brewery. Knowing you, you would have a PhD in your lab.
I got a PhD. I got two people with master's degrees.
Degrees.
Like, oh no, I pay minimum wage. I'm just
oh really? Oh, they work. Oh, they want to work for you.
I got some awesome people.
Oh,
I just have the best people.
It's like,
I am so
working
pleased.
For the
low self esteem.
Going out the end of the Warriors bench. You work cheap because you want a championship.
That's right. You want a championship.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. What was B?
B. if liquid yeast is not worth the money, what's the best way to use dry yeast? We hydrate, but should we do starters as well?
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will answer that question right after this.
Hey there, BN Army. Have you heard the latest at HopTech? Since HopTech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y-Yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at HopTech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to MoreBeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Now back to Jamil, Tasty, and Chicken Boy. This is Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. We're talking situations where you're pretty much have to do the dry yeast.
That's all you got. How do you do it?
All right. Yeah. Right.
How do you make the best of a bad situation?
Exactly.
Right.
What's the best way?
And not a bad situation. I mean, they do. Doing. You know, dry yeast. When we first started doing the show 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Dry yeast was pretty shitty.
Yeah.
It's actually gone much better.
They're
reducing the amount of contamination. They're expanding the number of choices.
More of a pure culture.
Right. Yeah, they're doing a much better job.
Yeah.
The question was, I mean, B on the list was...
What's the best way to use dry yeast?
Right. You know, so first off, rehydration. Amazing to me that, you know, for homebrewers, they like sprinkle it on top of your beer. For the professional brewers, they're like, oh, rehydrate, and here's how you rehydrate. So if it's good enough for the professional brewers, it's good enough for the homebrewers. They're thinking their homebrewers are incapable or retarded. I'm sorry. You can't use the R word. challenged and cannot, you know, rehydrate their yeast properly. Rehydrate your yeast. If you do not rehydrate your yeast, you're killing like 50% of the yeast. If you do properly rehydrate your yeast, or even come close, you're like, you know, from 80 to 100% viability.
Why? I did a collaboration at a brewery that used dry yeast.
You did?
And they, yeah, sure. I did, of course, actually two different breweries. One rehydrated like normal, and, you know, they got a bucket, got it sanitary, supposedly.
It costs you some hot water in a few minutes.
The other one just pitches it right in and uses an extra brick of the dry yeast.
So I did distiller's class in Chicago.
We didn't talk about that class. It had nothing to do with beer.
And the yeast expert was going like, well, you know, this stupid thing they say about rehydrating your yeast, the manufacturers, I don't know, that's nonsense. Just throw in an extra brick.
That's what this guy did.
I'm like, well, all right, which is cheaper, a brick of yeast or a bucket of warm water?
Interesting point. You have to have it imported or...
How much is a brick of yeast?
An expensive guy will get it.
Oh, they're not cheap. They've been raising the price of dry yeast, too. But, you know, a little bit of warm water and in a few minutes, and you essentially double the amount of yeast you have.
So when you mentioned that if you don't do that, if you're just pitching it right in, you're killing half of your yeast.
Yes.
How are you doing that?
All right. So the yeast are dried, and their cell walls are dried. When it's dry, it cannot control the barrier that is their cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be moist to, you know, interlock. And the thing about the cell membrane is it's able to pass things through that it doesn't want anymore, like alcohol, and shove it outside the cell that would kill it.
Okay, it regulates all that.
Right.
Okay.
And it takes in certain nutrients and sugars that it wants in there to, you know, turn into alcohol and CO2 and all this and grow and be able to, you know, reproduce.
Okay.
When it's dry, it's essentially like it's like the nictitating membrane in an eye or something that all of a sudden is just wide open and just crap just goes right through. So you become blind. It's just
bombards.
It's not an active membrane. It's an inactive membrane. It's not holes in it.
Exactly.
So things just go into the cell, and there's no regulation. It damages the cell.
It kills the cell.
Okay.
Right. And so this guy's solution was to put more of it in, so that you'll have more of a chance to get...
Well, that's... Yeah, exactly.
Some don't survive.
And that's what the dry yeast manufacturers are saying for homebrewers. It's like, well, you're not capable of rehydrating the yeast because that involves hot water, measuring the temperature of the water, and
sanitation. Have you had a homebrew before ever?
Right. So
I agree with him.
No, I'm
kidding. I'm joking.
So you want to rehydrate with...
rehydrate your yeast. If you can use...
with warm water...
Right, and if you can use like a GoFirm, you know, that's a wonderful thing to add to your yeast when you're rehydrating. Well, it's a rehydration.
It's a nutrient specifically designed
for rehydrating
yeast. Because in the wine industry, that's what it's designed for. The wine industry, they specifically use dry yeast. They only use dry yeast. There's no liquid wine yeast cultures. They really do.
It's like 90% dry.
90% dry, yes. So
5% liquid, 5% natural ferment.
Right, exactly.
Right, so they're giving these rehydrated cells just what they need, all the nutrients. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All the nutrients, mm-hmm.
all the
stuff.
All the wall-building stuff.
Yep.
It eases them in, and it's got the right, like, it's like amniotic fluid.
Would it be more of a reproducible ferment if you did this every time versus like...
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I think it buffers and...
you'd be able to get it.
It helps rehydration. You're getting the, you know, the right...
Mm-hmm. Getting them back to where they started. I mean, these dry yeast started as living wet yeast, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. All right, so I mean that's the most important thing is rehydrating properly.
Yeah.
If you get some GoFirm, which is just like a little powder that,
just
I gotta imagine
bit.
you know somebody like Tasty who went to New Zealand recently could have muled some GoFirm down there.
Yeah, I get the feeling that a half a teaspoon will let you put up nutrients for a starter.
I forget the ratio, but like more beer sells it.
Yeah, it's like a gram per.
I forget the thing, but you don't need a whole lot. And that's the thing about it. You don't need a whole lot. It sets up your dry yeast to actually learn how to uptake nutrients and to build the cell walls up, which, as you said, are essentially the gatekeepers between the shit and the food.
Exactly.
Don't shit where you eat.
And don't food where you shit.
Don't, so when you hydrate, never food.
When,
never
when
food
you hydrate with wort.
Yes.
You're...
The sugars in it.
The sugars just go right in there. They're both right in there.
Inundated. So it would be like...
They wouldn't have normally got through that wall, but now they're in there because it was an open door.
Instead of oxygen, you're getting, farts.
True.
And, it's a room full of farts. And the amount of farts overwhelms your ability to breathe and you die.
So, essentially, the dry yeast is my wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
The blanket's pulled over her head.
Right.
Couple of bean burritos.
No, I'll fill
done.
The living room. It doesn't matter.
If you use dry yeast, it's like a Dutch oven.
And giving her gopher, it's like giving her a gas mask.
Yes. Yeah. It's like turning the fan on and opening the window.
Okay, so now what about making a starter, like a traditional starter with using dry yeast? Is that appropriate?
Well, the interesting thing about the starter and the dry yeast is the manufacturers tell you, no, never do that. It's all been, prepped, and it's got the glycogen reserves and all that stuff. I think you burn out those glycogen reserves if you just throw them into water. I'm not really sure that's 100%. Hmm. However, the great thing about dry yeast is, there's a lot of it, and it's cheap. And so doing a starter is not necessarily the most important. If I was to do a starter... It would be for like a really big beer, or I was going to share this dry yeast with somebody else.
I see.
I would go ahead and properly rehydrate, start that up, and have a really
volume of wort.
And then you got to have a bigger volume of wort.
Yeah.
It tends to be that the starter you would make would be so huge, you might as well just brew a beer.
I see.
So brew a 5-gallon batch of a light beer.
Sure.
A 4-5% beer. And then take the proceeds of that and split that up with all your other buddies.
Okay.
I think that's the way to go. So I don't think that a starter's necessary. If you're going into a really big beer, let's say you're doing Doppelbock, you're doing Imperial Stout or something like that.
Yeah.
Two packets of yeast, dry yeast.
Now I'm looking.
I'm going crazy here.
No, rehydrate.
Not at all.
And rehydrate.
Rehydrated dry yeast.
Yes.
I see yeast packets vary from like $1.49 for like a 5-gallon batch up to like $3.49 or something a little higher.
$7 on some of these.
Really?
Things.
So what's
like
that?
Like 11
all,
grand.
For what's dry that all about? Yeast? They're just harder strains to make or?
I don't know. I think, I'm not sure.
I mean, those are approaching liquid yeast.
Yeah, right.
Prices
right.
around here anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know there are strains that are more approachable to being dried.
Yeah, right,
than right. not. So you can't dry every yeast. No, I know there's a couple of yeast companies that I won't name that have tried and failed at drying certain strains. That's why they choose some strains over others.
Yeah,
that might be right.
Yeah. So dry yeast is a limited selection of yeast. That's definitely the case.
Yes, you are definitely limited by going dry yeast. But in John Harry's case. I would be fine with that limited selection to save, $10 or $12 a batch or something like that. That's crazy.
Well, if you're going to, want these, selective yeast, special wit strain, special Belgian strain, special this, that, they can't be. I think the thing to do is to find somebody in your local community. I'm telling you, the people in New Zealand... there is every bit as brilliant and savvy tech, biosciences and everything else.
So you're saying they're as smart as Americans?
They're more
or more
smart.
So. More
I don't know. I don't know.
They're smarter than us.
I won't get political here.
It's
but,
not that hard to do a yeast group kind of like activity.
But I guarantee you they've got people down there that can handle it, and they should just go bank their own.
Yeah,
somebody there should start their own company up and do their own, White Labs yeast thing.
I mean, why not make a 5-gallon batch of four pounds of malt extract, dump it in there, and that's your club activity, like Tasty was saying. It's your club activity.
I agree. However, I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I have tried yeast from all sorts of different companies that are producing commercial yeast now.
Yeah.
And they are doing a shitty-ass job of it.
Commercial? What do you mean commercial? Like dry versus liquid?
Oh, no. Liquid yeast. They're growing it up. Somebody's got a PhD, and they're growing... And that, you know, they're producing yeast that won't flocculate at all. Mm. Yeast with like weird flavors.
Because there is kind of a rash of new liquid yeast companies on the market in like the past
and there,
3 years.
There actually is a talent and a skill in doing this. And it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Very repeatable and have exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
If you just want to wildly grow yeast, you can grow yeast. I grow yeast in my crotch right now. I'm just saying that...
ran out of cream, huh?
Well, you know.
Would that be more suitable for pickles or beer? I don't get that.
The pickle. Yeah.
The big pickle.
The big pickle. But there's some shitty-ass yeast being grown from these companies that are saying that they can grow commercial yeast.
Really? Even if they're like one of the standard like English ale yeast or something like that?
Yes.
They don't act like the normal ones?
Not good.
Just to be clear, we're not talking about White Labs.
Brewer be warned.
Well, and I get zero money from White Labs. I get zero money from Y Yeast. But I'm telling you, those are the two I trust.
Right. Absolutely.
I trust
White Labs over anybody else.
And exactly.
Yes.
I do too.
Yes.
I trust them over Y Yeast, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I get zero. Fucking Chris White will not give me a goddamn discount on give me sell fucking one for free.
He paid for these microphones. So
Jesus Christ.
That's enough for you.
Could I get some goddamn free yeast?
No.
No, fucking away.
No,
son of a bitch.
You get a subpar microphone.
All his employees are just like, oh, sure. Yeah, you should give him free yeast.
Didn't you
fucking
write a
Chris
book with
won't
him
give me
so?
Shit.
Didn't
he
you write
won't
a book?
Give me shit. Goddamn motherfucker won't give me shit. I love the guy, but he won't give me shit. So... However, I can't buy my, you know, it's like your heroin dealer who's making the best heroin. That's my guy. My crack guy, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
He's making the crack. I need the crack.
My crack guy.
Jesus Christ. Chris White, crack dealer. I'm just saying.
I'm going to buy that URL. MyCrackGuy.com.
My crack guy.
And then sell yeast.
However, so, I think he knows it. It's like, oh, Jamel doesn't need any free yeast. Fuck you!
That's true.
God damn it!
Sell some homebrew metal.
He knows you're addicted, man. He knows you'll keep coming back. He doesn't have a discount to you.
He's got me. I need the hit. I need the fix.
Give me the goods.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I ain't got no candy for you.
Oh, Jesus.
So that URL is available, FYI.
MikeCrackGuy.com.
I'm totally lost.
Well, Baltimore hasn't made it to the internet yet.
So. All right. I think we need to take a break. Calm down. And we'll get back on track. Right after this.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge electric mash water heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way. Introducing Clarity Firm from White Labs, an amazing tool for pro brewers and home brewers. Clarity Firm is an endoprotease that will reduce chill haze and increase the stability of your beer, and produces gluten-reduced beer. Clarity Firm is easy to use. Just add it when you pitch your yeast, and Clarity Firm will do its work during fermentation. When fermentation is complete, chill haze will already have been addressed. In addition, reduce the gluten content in beers made with
with barley and wheat with Clarity Firm. Most beers made with Clarity Firm will test below 20 parts per million, the current international standard for gluten-free. Better looking and more stable beer with the added benefit of reduced gluten, so you can pour your beer for more friends and customers. Why wouldn't you use Clarity Firm? Clarity Firm from White Labs. The reasons are crystal clear. Learn more at whitelabs.com.
Now back to Jamil, Tasty, and Blise. It's Brewing with Style.
I love to see Jamil in a mosh pit. Or a karate class. Or both.
Ooh, at matter. The same time.
A mosh karate mosh pit.
Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Mosh potty.
A mosh pit
mosh
full
potty.
Of karate pro black belt karate members.
Black belt lives matter.
All right. Where were we? Oh, my God, JP. Where were we?
What?
We just finished John Harry's question.
What's the best way to use dry yeast? We rehydrate, but we do starch as well, so we cover that.
Right.
Can you rinse and reuse dry yeast?
Ah, good question, good question.
Once it's been through fermentation, is it as good as a rinsed liquid yeast?
Well, all right. So
I think that's two questions.
Right. I would say the drying process kind of, you know, will tweak the yeast.
It's hard on the yeast for
sure. So if you had a single cell.
Yeah.
From a dry yeast pitch.
Right.
Or a second, you know, a ferment.
Right.
How would that compare biologically to a single cell from a slant at a yeast factory where they, you know, have a pure cell?
I would think theoretically it could be the same.
Uh-huh.
However, you put some organism through, you know, some torturous period. Like this show.
But they're simple organisms.
I was going to say Studio D.
Okay. Steve does change show to show.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, this poor innocent man here, look how we have converted him over the period of a few months.
Yeah.
He grew rapidly, his like, not giving a shit. And,
messed him up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. So I think, you know, going through the stress of the process, it depends on the cells that you are, you know, recollecting.
I see.
However, to throw another however on top of the however I just threw.
That's true.
If the beer that you are producing tastes great, is perfect.
The bottom line.
Then the yeast you're harvesting from that, if you can harvest the yeast that have produced that, it really doesn't matter what has happened to that yeast before, because all that matters is that you're harvesting the yeast that has produced the beer that you think is great.
Yeah.
It anything else is immaterial. It doesn't matter how mutated it was or what stress it's gone through previously.
Okay.
It's like, wow, this beer's excellent. I need to harvest this yeast.
All right, so let's just say, so you do have a viable yeast that you want to keep using.
Yeah.
So what about rinsing? That's the question.
Oh, you can always rinse.
Really?
And, you know, we're not talking about yeast washing where they go to a super low pH.
They take it down below
like 2 and they try and stun the bacteria. Yeah. And keep the yeast, and it stuns the yeast too, but keep the yeast alive and the bacteria are all killed off. You know, if you got that kind of a dirty process. Now, with dry yeast, there can be a bit of bacteria, but not necessarily as many as there was before.
Huh. Just inherent in the packages itself?
Yeah, the process, because they blow a lot of air through.
Yeah.
And these massive amounts of air, just every once in a while, no matter how they filter it, you carry along some bacteria with it.
Oh,
So it's just based on the process, it's a little bit less of a clean process than the liquid yeast.
It's because of the massive amounts of air used.
Okay. So when you do a starter, it would stand to reason that maybe you're increasing the growth rate of the bacteria that may or may not be in the package. Right. We don't know for sure, but so you are kind of running a risk.
However, I would say that the vast majority of people homebrewing are incorporating bacteria into their process anyways.
Yeah.
Just through everything else.
Because we don't have the tools.
Right.
Right. Totally.
And so...
is it that big of a deal?
Right.
Like, should you be concerned about it?
Drink your beer in, 2 weeks, a month, keep it cold and drink it, in a reasonable amount of time, you're fine.
Okay.
If you want to put in bottles and send it halfway around the world, then it becomes a critical factor. Mm. So I think it's not that big a deal. And I'd say, again, you could repitch what is, makes great beer. Well, you're set.
Okay.
So say I'm a dry yeast user. Would I at any point want to like look at a cell count, or look at the yeast, look at the viability under a slide? What would I expect to see? Something different? Where if I were would I find more mutations or fewer mutations, given I'm a dry yeast user?
Well, you certainly could, but I think I'm not sure it's really the thing to do.
Get out of the pizza box, Jamil.
He's going to eat
that
pizza.
Stop it. We're still recording.
I think I'm going to have to start doing some talking.
Stop it. Is it break time? The fat kid's coming out. Stop it.
I'm totally engaged.
It could have been a metaphor.
What you were saying.
Right. You know what? Stay out of the
pizza
box. He's
breaking all the rules. Turn his microphone off.
We can rinse the yeast, but you don't see any particular reason to do that. I see that. Huh. What would be the other question there?
Talk to me.
Rinsing the yeast is fine. You can rinse, rinsing the yeast is really just to separate it out.
How's that meat lovers, bro?
Oh my gosh, the camera was on him when he took that bite. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Can you save that clip, please?
It was glorious.
I'll make it into a GIF.
I have a couple of things
rinsing
that
I've the
saved.
Yeast is absolutely fine. Rinsing is really just separating out a lot of the trube. Hot particles, brown hoof, all that
stuff
crap.
That doesn't look good in there. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Yeast husks and things like that.
And then you could take that and step that up as well. Like, you might want to make a starter after you've collected as purest culture you could. Because say you get real particular. You get real particular in your selection process, and you end up not enough cells. Then you could do a starter. Keep the whole thing going.
He looks like
you're in a mountaintop in New Zealand, and you don't have you don't even know where you can get more dry yeast, let alone anything else.
Right, absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Last question.
Yeah, the camera's staying on you.
He says they have a temp controlled fridge for fermentation, and they're looking at oxygenating the wort next. Oh. And I underlined that because that to me raised a red flag right there. You should. I don't personally think that you should be spending $19 on liquid yeast when you're not even giving your wort enough oxygen. You're not oxygenating. That to me would be my first step before graduating to liquid yeast. If you're gonna go through that route, or even doing things. I mean, that stop brewing for a month and buy an oxygenating kit.
Right. Right.
Or get an aquarium pump. Go to Amazon through the Brewing Network website. Click on the Amazon link, and then order one of those aquarium pumps. They were great.
That's what happens when I don't drive myself out here.
You eat a meat lover's pizza in the middle of the show?
Yeah.
Like, there's no. We got a large pizza. It's all gone.
I would say this. I would agree with you guys. What were we talking about?
We're talking about the Model T and how it was far more superior to most modern cars.
Right. So. The amount of oxygen, one of the reasons that a lot of the dry yeast manufacturers are talking about not needing oxygen is that...
they include glycol in the...
Glycogen reserves of the yeast, et cetera, et cetera. But part of that is you're pitching way more than enough yeast is what they're anticipating. Because if you're pitching a packet of dry yeast, your 5 gallon batch, 11 gram packet into a 5 gallon batch, you are so way pitching so much more yeast than what you get from a liquid yeast.
Say like a vial of white labs. How many vials do you think 11 gram packet might be?
Ooh,
two.
Good
three?
Question.
Oh yeah.
Maybe just one. I don't
what's
know.
The
maybe
equivalent?
What's your gut feel? Yeah, what's your gut feel?
Two and a quarter times.
Yeah, more than two. Wow. Nice.
Really? 2 right. and a quarter times more yeast. Now, I'm not talking not saying viable cells.
No. Right, right.
But actual material.
Right.
Okay.
And so if you don't rehydrate it, you get essentially about the same.
Okay.
All if right. you do rehydrate it, you get like twice as much.
Yeah. But so with the added bacteria contamination possibly there. Right. Okay. All right.
So that's part of the reasoning there of, you know, not adding the oxygen. But I'd still go ahead with the oxygen. I think, you know, you're right, JP. It's not going to hurt the process. It's not going to be, and if you were to switch to some other process, I think having some oxygen temp control for sure. Don't laugh at me, man. You have to, if you're temperature control will be first.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which he's doing, oxygen. Which is great. Yeah. Yes, and then oxygenate.
But yeah, step
yeah,
up
he
on
should
the
be
oxygen.
Doing that. He's
and then start fucking with your yeast, man.
So it seems like one of those bigger picture things. Like you got bigger problems to worry about than. Your yeast, because if you're,
let's say you go through the work, like Jamil's saying, you make a giant starter of your liquid yeast and you split it up and you do all this kind of stuff. But if you're not oxygenating your wort for that liquid yeast starter, you're going to be at kind of a disadvantage anyways. So if you're going to go through all that work, why not give the yeast the best environment that it
yeah,
that,
there's
that
no
you
use
can.
Spending money on something that.
That you that you're
isn't
not even
do as well anyway because other variables are not as
right
okay
absolutely so
you just I just got this like the how, mentor how drunk we, nod how, yeah.
I'm so proud of pornographic Steven for stepping in there and you know he actually seemed interested in helping with the show
yeah.
Well, I mean, your mouth was full of meat.
Yeah, he did help. He was interested. Was
he has not done that pizza. Since, like, you know, show two. There you go.
Yeah,
all right.
He didn't know he had to work. And all right, are we doing here?
Did we
that
have?
Was it.
That's
I think
it.
We answered
that, was it.
That
Harry,
question pretty well.
There you go, dude. He said, "Any help would be great. Love the show."
I think we filled them in quite well.
Yeah.
Good job,
so
everybody.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad somebody else is driving. Thanks for bringing the pizza. Hey, you know,
what are you gonna do?
If you enjoy this pile of crap we call the show, I would get yourself over to brewershardware.com. Email Brad at brewershardware.com. Tell him how much you really appreciate it. And, you know, if you like this show, there's a lot of other great shows on the Brewing Network. Check out Dr. Homebrew with JP.
Do it!
Yeah.
Check out The Session.
Yeah,
check
we have a great
out
time there.
Bruce Strong with me John Palmer.
Great show.
Check out The Sour Hour. Lots of good stuff. It's all free because of our fine sponsors like brewershardware.com. Check them out. Talk to Brad. Send him an email. Say thank you so much for sponsoring this because I was afraid it was going to go away. Yeah. But not anymore because brewershardware.com is right there for us. And, you know, until then, Bruce Strong, everybody.
And often.